Pastor John Randall encouraging us to factor God into your circumstances.
If I'm looking to myself to fulfill what is impossible or to do what I cannot do, I have no hope. However, if I look to God, that makes all the difference in the world. Listen, folks, the problem is sometimes we forget to factor God into the equation. We consider something, but we don't also consider God in the midst of that something. And so we throw up our hands and say, it just can't be done. And the problem is we've forgotten that nothing is too hard for the Lord. We forget to factor Him in. Listen, if you're struggling in your faith today, please do yourself a favor and factor God into the equation. Stop looking at your own limitation and look at the God that you serve.
It's time once again for A Daily Walk. Open that Bible of yours to Romans chapter 4 as we get ready for a faith-strengthening message from Pastor John Randall. We'll once again be looking at the faith of Abraham. As we learned last time, Abraham's faith believed God could do the impossible, and he had hope in a hopeless situation. That's not all. Pastor John makes a few more observations about the faith of Abraham and relates it to our daily walk. We'll start off at verse 18.
Look at verse 18. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. The Greek translation of verse 18 says, who being beyond hope, on the basis of hope, believe. Young's literal translation reads this way, in hope against hope, he believed. From a human perspective, if you looked at Abraham's circumstances, it was beyond hope. Natural hope. Sorry, Abraham. 99, I don't think you guys are going to have a bouncing baby boy. I'm sorry. It's just not going to happen. It was beyond hope. Yet, he believed beyond hope. The word hope means an absolute assurance of coming good. Abraham was certain that God would do good to him, and specifically that he would fulfill his promise. Notice how this sense of hope overlaps the concept of faith. Both have to do with something that you cannot yet see or process. The Bible tells us that we walk by faith and not by sight. There are many examples in Scripture of situations and circumstances that were beyond hope. I think of the prophet Ezekiel, when the Lord showed him that vision in that valley that was full of dry bones. The Lord said to his prophet, can these bones live? And Ezekiel very honestly said, only you know, Lord. And then in Ezekiel 37, he said to Ezekiel, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up. Our hope is perished. We'll surely be cut off. There was no hope. And yet the Lord revealed to his prophet that those dry bones miraculously would come together, that the nation, although dispersed and dispensed throughout the earth, would come together once again. Prophecy would be fulfilled. There was hope beyond hope. I think of the synagogue ruler whose name was Jairus. As Jesus came to the shores of Galilee, Jairus came and fell at his feet. His 12-year-old daughter was at the point of death. Nothing moves your heart like your children. And he came and pleaded with Jesus, said, Lord, please come to my house. And you remember that Jesus followed him, at least began following him to his house. But on the way, it says that they received word that Jairus' daughter had died. At that moment, all hope was gone. She's gone. There's nothing that he can do. In fact, his servant said, don't trouble the teacher any longer. And you can imagine what Jairus must have been feeling at that moment. And yet Jesus responded, overhearing what was being spoken to the synagogue official. And he said, don't be afraid any longer. Only believe. It was hope beyond hope. Abraham believed God, and his faith believed that God could do the impossible. And his faith had hope in a hopeless situation. Folks, listen. We have today, not a dead hope, but the Bible says we've been begotten again unto a living hope. A living hope. an absolute certainty of coming good. Not an I hope so, or I hope it happens. I'm not really sure if it's going to. No, we have an absolute certainty, which is our hope. And so no matter how hopeless the situation looks from the outward perspective or somebody just looking at it from a human vantage point, we have a living hope in spite of a hopeless world, a hopeless situation. And that comes by faith. That comes by trusting in God. You see, I came in here this morning, and honestly, if somebody asked me, I'm hopeless. It's just not going to happen. I can't ever see a way out. Listen, you have a living hope today. Abraham's faith had hope in a hopeless situation. But a third aspect of Abraham's faith, which is so important, and I think most of us will relate with this, is that his faith did not look at his own limitations. It says here in verse 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham's faith did not look at his own limitations. It says he did not consider his own body. The word consider means the action of the mind in apprehending certain things or certain facts about a thing. You're looking at it, you're seeing what you're being given, and you begin to develop this and you realize, yeah, it's not going to happen. If Abraham only looked at himself, he would see he was limited. That there was nothing but weakness. Abraham knew his own body was in a dead condition, and he was therefore hopeless in himself. He knew that Sarah also was past the normal age of childbearing. So in one sense, he had before him his own body, which was as good as dead. On the other hand, he had before him the promise of God that he would become the father of many nations. Abraham decided to lay hold of the promise of God as a greater weight than the physiological realities of an aged body. What I'm saying to you is that his faith looked beyond personal limitations and looked to God, where there is no limitation, where there is no impossibility. He took his eyes off of himself and he placed them on God. And that makes all the difference in our faith. If I'm looking to myself to fulfill what is impossible or to do what I cannot do, I have no hope. However, if I look to God, that makes all the difference in the world. Listen, folks, the problem is sometimes we forget to factor God into the equation. We consider something, but we don't also consider God in the midst of that something. And so we throw up our hands and say, it just can't be done. And the problem is we've forgotten that nothing is too hard for the Lord. We forget to factor him in. Listen, if you're struggling in your faith today, please do yourself a favor and factor God into the equation. Stop looking at your own limitation and look at the God that you serve, who spoke the world into existence, who said light and there was. The God who hollows out the chasm for the oceans and places them and says you can only come this far. The one who flung the stars into existence. The one who spans the universe with his hand. Factor him in to your circumstance. And your mentality changes significantly. I think of that father in Mark chapter 9. Who approached Jesus after he descended from the Mount of Transfiguration. His son was demon possessed. And he began to plead with Jesus and ask him for help. He had gone to the Pharisees. They couldn't do anything. He had even taken his son to the disciples of Jesus. And they also were powerless to deliver. But then he came to Jesus. And Jesus spoke to him in Mark chapter 9 verse 21. And he asked the father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said to him, from childhood, and often it's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. And then the father said this to Jesus, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. So desperate, tried this, tried that, it didn't work, and this didn't help, and it's not getting any better, it's getting worse. He comes to Jesus and just says, Lord, if you can, anything would be great. Just something, please give me something to help. Have compassion. And Jesus said, if you can believe. He said, I do, but I need help to believe. I'm struggling to believe. And of course, we know what happened. Jesus helped his unbelief and he delivered that boy. When you walk by faith, it means that you're not going to know necessarily what's around the corner, but you do know that the Lord is leading you. He goes before you, and thus you can have confidence even in what you cannot see. Abraham's faith believed that God could do the impossible. Abraham's faith had hope, provided hope in a hopeless situation. Abraham's faith did not look at his own personal limitations, but he looked to God. I also see here that Abraham's faith, in his faith, he did not falter. In verse 20, it says he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. It means that Abraham wasn't divided. He didn't vacillate between two opinions, between belief and unbelief, between faith and doubt. When from the human standpoint, everything is going well, you know, it's easy to trust God. When your finances are in order, when you feel healthy physically, when your kids are doing what they're supposed to be doing and out of trouble, when this is going well, when that's happening at the office and things are good, man, yeah, I trust God, man. It's easy to trust God when everything's like that. You know when it's difficult to trust God? When things aren't like that, when things are the exact opposite. When your faith is being tested, that's when it's difficult to trust. But I want to say this to you, and don't misunderstand this. Struggling faith is not doubt. Just as temptation to sin is not sin itself. You can be tempted to sin and not sin. You can struggle in your faith and not be doubting God. You know what God's word says. You know that he's faithful. You know that he's brought you this far, not to drop you off now. You know all of those things, but you're in a situation where you are struggling in your faith. You have God's word, you're holding on to it, you believe it, but all of these things around you are coming and you find yourself, I'm not doubting you, God, I'm just not sure how it's going to work out. It's okay to be in that situation. You're not less of a Christian because you struggle in your faith. All of us do. All of us, that's human nature. And the Lord knows that. He even saw it within the life of his disciples. And they walked with him personally. I think of Peter in Matthew chapter 14. When he and the disciples were out in the midst of the Sea of Galilee and a great storm came up and they thought they were going to drown. They thought this was the end. And then out of nowhere, Jesus came walking to them on the water. And it says in verse 27 of Matthew 14, immediately Jesus spoke to them and he said to them, be of good cheer. I love that. I just think that's, I find that interesting. Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid. That's the only way you can be of good cheer if you know Jesus is there. And then Peter answered and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come on to the water. So he said, come. And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand, caught him and said, oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. I don't know what came over Peter to think that he could get out of the boat and walk on water. But he saw Jesus do it. And in that moment, he had the faith to do it himself. But you'll notice that he said, Lord, it was contingent upon if it's you. If it's you, bid me to come on the water. If it's not you, this is great. I'm staying right here. You need to know it's the Lord calling you. To step out of a boat without knowing it's Jesus, to step out of a boat in faith not knowing it's Jesus can be presumptuous. Peter needed to hear, it's me. One word, come. Okay, that's the Lord. That's all we got. I mean, Jesus didn't say, it is I, come to me. He already said it's me. But now he says, come. Peter had to get out of the boat and he was walking. His faith was strong in that moment. He believed he was doing it. But then he began to struggle in his faith. He took his eyes off of the Lord and of course the waves began to come around him and he lost sight and he began to sink. And he prayed a really quick prayer. It was effective. said, Lord, save me. And I love how that Jesus reached down and caught Peter, struggling in his faith, brought him back in the boat. And then he said, oh, you have little faith. You know, I do not believe for a minute that Jesus, in looking at Peter, had eyes of disgust or disappointment. Peter, man. So much for that. Wow, that was really, man, where's your faith? I don't think it was like that at all. What I know of my Savior, what I know of Jesus, it was probably, Peter, that was so great. Your faith, what happened? You were doing it, man. Oh, you have little faith. Why did you doubt? I don't know, Lord, the waves, I was getting wet. I don't know. And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Instead of growing weak or faltering in his faith, I want you to see, fifthly, concerning Abraham's faith, it says here, he was strengthened in faith. He was strengthened in faith. This strengthening of Abraham's faith was demonstrated in a climactic moment. Probably the greatest test of Abraham's faith is Genesis 22. And in Genesis 22, the Lord asked Abraham to take his only son that he loved, Isaac, up to Mount Moriah and to sacrifice him there as a burnt offering. The record in Genesis says there was no hesitation. He immediately prepared to go. No questions asked, just obediently went in the direction that the Lord told him to go. They went up the mountain. And you remember that right before Abraham was to take the life of his son, the Lord stopped him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he went on to tell him, now I know you won't hold anything back from me. Abraham was strengthened in his faith at that climactic moment. And we wonder, how could he do that? Again, I appeal to a New Testament commentary in Hebrews 11. And here is what it tells us about that Old Testament story. It says in verse 17 of Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. How could he do that? Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him, in a figurative sense. In other words, Abraham's faith was so strengthened that if God was going to have him go through with the sacrifice of Isaac, he believed that God was going to have to raise him from the dead and would raise him from the dead so that his promise could be fulfilled that through Isaac the seed would be blessed. God said it. Abraham believed it. This was a test of his faith. But he believed that God would do it. He believed that, and listen, keep this in mind. At this point in Scripture, in Genesis, no one had been raised from the dead yet. That's on record. There's no record in Genesis of anybody being raised from the dead yet. And yet Abraham believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead if that was necessary. That's why there was no hesitation. He was strengthened in his faith. I mean, it took him over 100 years to get to that place where his faith was strong. I don't want it to take that long in my life, but I find that everything that Abraham was going through was for the purpose of strengthening his faith. Faith that can't be tested can't be trusted, someone said. And as God allows you and allows me to have our faith put to the test, we learn, not just by reading it, but by living it, that God can do impossible things, that there is indeed hope in hopeless situations, that my limitations do not limit God, that I don't need to falter in my faith because God is faithful. In fact, the Bible says he's faithful even when we're faithless because he can't deny himself. Abraham was strengthened in his faith. Finally, you'll see that Abraham was convinced, or his faith was, I would like to say, solidified. It says in verse 21, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. And therefore, it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Abraham came to this place, having walked with the Lord, where he knew, God, you keep your word. Even when he didn't see it, even when he couldn't imagine it, he believed God would do it. God always keeps his word. There may be certain promises that God has made to you and me that we may not see in our lifetime, but our kids may see it. There may be certain things that God has said that he's going to do that he doesn't allow me to see, but he's still going to do it because he said he would. In verse 23, this chapter concludes. Paul says, "Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but also for us. And it shall be imputed to us who believe in him, who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our justification." The point that Paul makes here as he concludes this chapter and looking at the life of Abraham, he's saying everything that happened to Abraham wasn't just for Abraham, it was for us. Everything that Abraham went through, being justified by faith, having his faith tested, all of that was written not just for him, but it was also written for us that we might learn from his example, that we might have that same kind of faith. It's one thing to admire the faith of Abraham and say, what a marvelous story, what a wonderful journey. But listen, God's writing your story. God's writing your life of faith right now. You may be chapter, I wish I wasn't in this one, but he's writing it. Your story of faith, your journey. The Bible says we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses that we run our race of faith right now. This happened 2,000 years before Paul. But Paul says God didn't write this just for Abraham. He wrote it for us. Abraham didn't know how God would fulfill his word, but he knew God, and he had every confidence that God was fully able to do what he had promised. What about you? What about me? Do you believe that God is able to do everything that he has promised? Are you struggling with your faith today? You remember the disciples said to Jesus in Luke 17, they said, "Lord, increase our faith." That's a real prayer request. Lord, help us here. We need faith to believe you. We need faith to trust you. You ever prayed that to the Lord? Lord, increase our faith. Jesus responded to their request and he said, "If you have faith as a mustard seed," which by the way is almost, you're almost unable to see it. It's so small. "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to this tree, this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and planted in the sea and it would obey you." On another occasion, he said, "If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed, and it would be removed." He's talking about, in essence, he's giving us a picture that it doesn't take a lot of faith for God to work. He said, if you just have that much, he can work. The longer that I walk with the Lord, the more I realize that it's really about his faithfulness more than my great faith. It's his great faithfulness to me. He has been faithful. He is faithful. He will be faithful. I want to encourage you today, if in fact you are struggling in your faith, the Bible exhorts us to trust in the Lord, to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. Proverbs 3:5-6.
This is A Daily Walk with Pastor John Randall. CD copies are available upon request for the cost of $5. Either go to adailywalk.org or call us at 877-242-0828. I should also mention you can either hear our program through the website at adailywalk.org. We also have an app. It's free, and Pastor John's messages are available there as well. Do a search for CCSJC to download our app. What can we learn from a man like Daniel that lived nearly 2,400 years ago? Quite a bit. And that's uncovered in a book we'd like to get into your hands called Living Among Lions. I'm sure you'd agree, being a Christian in a world that's becoming more hostile toward the things of God isn't easy. So how is a believer to respond in such an unfriendly environment? Well, Living Among Lions covers three characteristics that made Daniel strong in an environment very much like ours: conviction, commitment, and courage. As Daniel possessed these qualities, God gave him favor and supernatural power. As you read this amazing book, you'll learn how to not only survive, but thrive like Daniel in today's Babylon. The cost is $15. You can request it by calling 877-242-0828 or do so online at adailywalk.org. If you could offer a financial gift this month, that would be a huge blessing. It's your free will offering that allows us to come to you on the radio like this. We believe this is a critical time in human history. People are looking for hope and answers. And of course, they'll find that in God and His Word. Radio is being used mightily by God right now, so thank you for standing with us. Donations to the ministry can be made at adailywalk.org. We've been blessed recently by wonderful emails and calls from listeners who are being helped by this radio ministry. Would that describe you? We want to hear your story too. And yes, Pastor John reads these emails. Contact us by email at adailywalk@gmail.com. This is a presentation of Calvary Chapel, San Juan Capistrano.